And we'll proceed to the last case of the morning. Ms. Dreyer? This is the Leon Washington versus James Hopert.
Yes.
Ms. Dreyer?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Carolyn Trier, and I represent Officer Hopert, Officer Sly, and Sergeant Fred Rogers. This lawsuit arises out of an incident that occurred on January 30th, 2001. The district court, Judge Springman, denied qualified immunity for the police officers in this case. I acknowledge that there are some facts in dispute as to what happened at the Washington residence on January 30th, 2001. But I'm asking this court to look at the undisputed facts in this case and rule as a matter of law that the undisputed facts show that a reasonable officer would not have known he was violating clearly established law by arresting the Washingtons.
What about the facts of the district court? She seemed to buy their story.
Pardon?
The district court. The facts set out by the district court seemed to at least acknowledge the Washington story of what occurred.
Well, I believe that the district court construed the disputed facts in favor of the Washingtons, but the district court failed to address the undisputed facts in this case and did not include those in her opinion.
Did the district court find a material dispute of fact regarding whether Mrs. Washington requested that a car be sent to the house in her initial call to 911?
What the district court found was that the dispatcher told Mrs. Washington that she would be sending a car over. However, the audio tape that I supplied to the district court clearly showed that Mrs. Washington had requested that a car be sent over because her husband was trying to fight with her.
Okay. Is there any evidence in the record as to what was communicated by the 911 dispatcher to the officers before they arrived at the house?
There is evidence in the officers' affidavits that they were told that they are being dispatched to a domestic dispute.
And one other question about the record. Is there any dispute in the record as to whether there were scratches on Mr. Washington's face?
That is also undisputed. There are photographs that Officer Hopper took at the scene of scratches to Mr. Washington's face, hands, and arms.
Well, I thought there was some dispute as to whether there were scratches, isn't it?
There were photographs that were submitted to the district court.
Yeah, there are photographs, but I thought there was some dispute as to what the photographs showed.
Right.
I think the dispute lies in how the scratches occurred. But based on what the officers saw at the scene, when they were told by Mrs. Washington by Leon Washington that he had scratches, the photographs and observing his injuries confirmed what was told to them. But based on the undisputed facts, I believe they show that these officers did not violate clearly established law. They did receive the 911 call taker received a call from Mrs. Washington. She called 911, which is an emergency line, and said that she needed a car sent up, that her husband was trying to fight her. This is confirmed by the audio tape that I provided to the court. She asked, when she was talking to the call taker, somebody had hung up the phone, and the call taker called back to the Washington's residence. And the call taker asked who had disconnected the phone, and it was Mr. Washington, which raised some concern. At that time is when Mrs. Washington told the call taker that her husband was trying to fight with her. So a car was sent over. When the officers arrived, there was a chair that was turned over on the floor. A picture was taken of that. There were scratches on Mr. Washington, and Mrs. Washington reported to the officers that her husband had scratched her. So based on those undisputed facts, a reasonable officer could believe that they had probable cause to arrest the Washingtons for domestic dispute and domestic battery.
Well, problem I have, this just seems that the district court, maybe she disregarded some of the things that you recite, but seems to have said, well, given what the Washingtons said, there's a big dispute here, no qualified immunity.
That's right, and I disagree with that decision in that the court...
How much are we stuck with that decision, whether we agree with it or not?
Okay. Well, I believe that the undisputed facts need to be looked at in this case to decide whether these officers violated clearly established law. I mean, that's the point of qualified immunity, is to keep public officials from going through a trial when they are entitled to qualified immunity as a matter of law.
In other words, I take it your argument is that the district court, in taking the facts in the light most favorable to the Washingtons, appeared to take as true the Washingtons' explanation of events, but that's not what the focus... In other words, but the focus, it should not have been on what actually happened between the Washingtons, but on what was known to and observed by the officers in responding to the call. Is that your argument?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mrs. Washington, you're going to argue for the... Okay. Now, you understand this is a very rare occasion where we have a pro se argument here for the Court of Appeals.
And I appreciate it, Your Honor.
I just cautioned you that there are certain things we have to do. I don't expect you to know all the law and everything, but I'll let you recite what you can and you proceed as best you can.
Okay. Well, may it please the Court, I'll be arguing on behalf of myself and my husband with his permission. And on this case, and first I'd like to say this is a frivolous case of make-believe. This is that was conspired, created, and covered up for over 5 years and 4 months by the city and the attorneys. Undisputed fact that the appellant is talking about is just a part of that frivolous case. We did not have a domestic dispute. We had just come from Mississippi, losing my last brother, and I was just distraught. And my sister's call from Mississippi after my family was in bed. I had two more children at the house, and they called. They were screaming and hollering about they had gotten the news that my brother was deliberately killed by this bus. And I tried to sell them down and told them, don't worry, that I would call the Fort Wayne Police Department to see what we could do about this because there's a lot was going on. And I was crying also. And when I hung up, I dialed the 911 because I had the phone in my hand.
You hung up with your relative?
Sisters.
Sister?
Mm-hmm. And I dialed the 911 button, but I hung it up because I realized it wasn't that kind of emergency.
Could I interrupt you for just a moment?
Yes.
And ask a couple of questions? Did you admit that you told the 911 operator that your husband was trying to fight you?
I have no knowledge of that whatsoever. I hung the phone up, and the 911 later called back. It didn't seem to be right away, but when she called back, she asked, was there a problem? I said, no. She said a police car was on its way, and I was glad to hear it because I wanted to talk to them to see what we could do to see, you know, about my brother's death. So, you know, when they came, my family was asleep, and I politely invited them in. But the one officer, you know, seemed to prejudice. So, you know, as he came in, I just told him it wasn't a problem. I was just had lost my last brother. And, of course, they were negligent in their duty. They showed me no compassion whatsoever. They breached it. And instead, he went upstairs.
Ms. Washington, forgive me for interrupting, but I do want to ask you this. Would you agree that when the officers were at the house, that they saw an overturned chair and that Mr. Washington had scratches on his face, hands, neck,
no,
arms?
No, Your Honor. He didn't. They did see an overturned chair because I had thrown the luggage on there, and if you see the picture, you will see a luggage bag indicating, because one of the legs, there's four little legs on there, and one of them was broken. But he had no scratches, and we never told the officers nothing. In fact, he was laughing and talking with one of the officers. The other one was staring me. So I asked him, were we going to jail? And he came to me shaking his hand. So I said, okay, thank you. But what happened was, he went out and called another officer, and when this officer, about a half an hour later, he comes in, and he kept picking at me. I was sitting there, and I was trying not to cry, and he kept picking, and he said that we were lying. There was conflicting stories, so I said, officer, I'm telling the truth. I said, I got a stretch, so he attempted to walk to me, and he says, oh, don't stretch yourself, and he told...
What were the photographs of, these photographs that we just heard about from Ms. Trier? What do they show?
Okay, they shows that the officer, Hopper, took pictures of him, and he had on a white T-shirt what he was in bed in. But I think what they did is took somebody's hand and put it out like this, because all his pictures was like this. They got his hand out like this with a marker or something.
So you're saying that they replaced the real photographs with someone else's arm?
Yes, Your Honor, because he had on a white T-shirt, and you'll see a sleeve on one of the pictures, and he did not have on a sleeve. But what happened when I told the officer that I had, you know, he said I had stretched myself, and I said, well, you have a problem with ladies, and this is when he told them to arrest me and get me out the house. And when he stood up and said, you're not going to take it to jail, he said, you going too. And that's how we got arrested, because at first they said they weren't going to arrest us. There was no probable cause.
Let me ask you just a question. In your deposition, which was taken later, obviously, than this time period, but the question was, does Leon Washington live there? And you said off and on.
That's right.
And then the question, is he currently living there? And you said no. And when was the last time he lived there? And you say last night, I believe.
Yeah.
Now, at the time this all occurred, was he living there? I mean, because I was a little confused about him going upstairs and your sons and whose bed was what and who woke him up.
My brother that got killed was like his very best friend. So he took us to Mississippi, and he had to go to work, and we kept him a day late. So I told him that he could stay at the house, take my bed, because I was not going to sleep.
Right. That's what I didn't quite understand. So he was living somewhere else at the time, I guess.
Yes, sir. Right. Your Honor.
You were married, however.
I'm sorry.
You were still married at the time. He was just living somewhere else.
Right.
And he was at the house at the time when all this encounter took place.
That's right. So they violated our constitutional right, and that's why we're here, because the law was clearly established. And according to the Supreme Court, it was voted like 6-1 that in order for them to detain a suspect, they had to have a reason to have probable cause. The state investigated this case for 8 months, and they dismissed it on their own motion because there was no probable cause. So we were clearly violated, and since that time, we owned two child care businesses, licensed foster care and child care, and we've lost over $500,000 in income. And they have done nothing but discriminated and harassed us and retaliated against us for seeking justice.
In what way have they retaliated?
Well, number one, like we go downtown and park, we meet the park patrol. She comes and she looks at the license plate. Then they comes to the house and give us tickets. The police was following us every time we left home, and they would follow us way out, you know, like my, some of my family live way out. They would follow us out, and then when I turn around, they'll turn around and they'll stop. We've gotten calls. You know, they have done a lot of things to us that we know that it was, you know, because of this lawsuit. And people would tell us, well, you know, you need to drop it. You need to drop it. You're going to all be killed, which we thought at one point. And then the attorney that we first had called and threatened us and told us if we didn't drop it, something awful would happen to us.
Your attorneys, you had attorneys, and then they withdrew from the case, right?
The first attorney we had sat on the case. He took all of our original papers, and he sat on the case for 2 years.
He sat on it, you say?
He wouldn't do anything, and he wouldn't give us copies of the original papers. And then he called, he acted like they was going to do a deposition. We watched his film, and then he called back that Monday, told us come down and dismiss it, or he hate to see what was going to happen to us.
You had another attorney after that, didn't you?
This court-appointed attorney, well, there was two, and the lady got off of it because she was actually doing her job, but I guess there was too much conspiracy between the city attorney and him, so she got off, and he wouldn't talk to us. He wouldn't communicate with us at all by letter or phone. So when the time for the summary judgment, we didn't know anything about it until after, months after it was done. That's why we couldn't file, because the city does have an unconstitutional policy and something should be done about it.
Okay. Then as far as the whatever these businesses or whatever, you and your husband do that jointly, or was it his business?
We did it jointly. Mm-hmm. We had child care and foster parenting. Well, we were supposed to be getting our foster kids this same month when they arrested us.
It's not a business, actually.
Take
care of foster children, isn't it?
No, because they was going to be our own.
All right.
So thank you. We're grateful for this opportunity, and thank you for listening.
Okay. Good. I'm sorry, Ms. Trier? Or Trier? What is it?
Trier,
sorry.
You have a high school here, New Trier High School, don't you?
Well,
Trier?
That's your mother, huh? Your father?
No. It's just same last name.
Okay.
I would just like to direct the court's attention back to the focus of the undisputed facts in the case, and the undisputed facts show that these officers did not violate a clearly established known constitutional right by arresting Mr. and Mrs. Washington on the night of the incident. The existence of probable cause to arrest turns on the information known to the officers at the time the arrest was made. And if you look at the undisputed facts, what they knew, they were dispatched to a house for a domestic dispute. The 911 caller told them that the woman reported that her husband was trying to fight with her. They arrived at the scene. Clara or Mrs. Washington reported that her husband had scratched her. Her husband had scratch marks. There's photographs of that. That's undisputed. The audio tape is before the court. That's undisputed what was said there. Mrs. Washington also reported that her husband had put his hands on her shoulder, and there was an overturned chair, and there's photographs of that. Those are the undisputed facts. And these officers, they are allowed to make a mistake in arresting individuals if that mistake is reasonable, and I believe that in this case it was reasonable for them to arrest the Washingtons, and they did not violate their clearly established rights.
But Sergeant Rogers, he seemed to arrive on the scene late and seemed to be the person who ordered the arrests.
He actually didn't order the arrest. The two officers were at the scene, and because it was Mrs. Washington that had called about the domestic dispute, and when they arrived at the scene and began their investigation, they thought both parties should be arrested for domestic dispute. So they called, according to Fort Wayne police policy, they called their sergeant to confer with him as to what they should do, and the three of them decided that both parties should be arrested for domestic abuse.
The case was dismissed, is that right?
Pardon?
The case was dismissed against them.
That's what they have alleged. I don't think that's part of this case, because what's important
I'm just asking a question. Was it or wasn't?
I don't know off the top of my head. It may have been, but What's important is what the officers knew at the time of the arrest.
Yeah, I understand okay. that. I just
okay.
asked. You all done?
Do you have any further questions? Or?
That's all.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks. Thanks to both parties, counsel and individuals. This case will be taken under advisement. That completes the arguments for today, so the course will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning.